The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial. And it's my pleasure to be here this morning with you on this crazy week that we've had, huh? All this snow. Who's tired of the snow? Enough already. We've had school cancellations like crazy over the past few weeks. It's hard to believe that the Red Sox are coming back here to Fenway Park in just a few weeks to start up opening season. But I'll be delighted to have them here and I'll be delighted to get some warm weather back here. Hopefully the trees are trying to bud and produce some flowers. In fact, I thought I saw some crocuses trying to peek through last week, but those certainly got buried by all the snow that we've experienced the past couple weeks. So let's get into this spring, and let's hope that it comes sooner than later. We also have tax season coming up. That's just in a few weeks away, so hope you're having your taxes prepared. Hope you've gotten them off to your accountant or that you're doing them yourselves. Just something for you to know as it relates to taxes this year. Remember, the taxes that you're filing this year are for the 2017 tax year. This upcoming year, we've got a new tax plan. And you may want to rethink about the types of withholdings that you're having done from your paycheck, revisiting with your accountant to see whether you'll be itemizing in 2018 or whether you'll simply be taking the brand new standard deduction. Some of the items that you thought were once tax deductible may not be tax deductible for this upcoming year. So lots of things you want to think about, because many people, as we've recently learned, as we had actually talked about a few weeks ago on this radio show, is you've probably noticed on your take-home paycheck that there's a little bit more money in your pocket. And that's because the tax rates have changed and the IRS has changed their withholding tables, which means that you generally may have a little bit more money in your paycheck. But you could, and I'm not saying you could find yourself at the end of 2018 with having to owe a little bit more in taxes if the new deduction structure doesn't work in your favor. So I don't want you to end up with any surprises come next April. So if you have a chance, you can certainly visit the IRS website, where they'll give you an opportunity to best understand how the new deduction works on your pay stub. Or you can simply visit with your accountant, go to some of these tax preparation software systems, visit Quicken.com, visit Intuit.com, TurboTax.com, and try to run some pro forma tax returns to take a look at what your taxes look like for 2017, drop them into a 2018 calculator, and you'll get a sense as to what that is all going to look like for the upcoming year. Something smart to do, because sometimes we wait a little bit too long to do our tax planning for the end of the year. And if we actually knew how much we might need to readjust our tax withholdings on our pay stubs, withholdings perhaps on our distributions that we take from our retirement plans, you may find yourself without a surprise, I should say, in April of 2018. But with all that's gone on, you know, in the government, all that's gone on with the economy, all that's gone on in the stock market and taxes, etc., it's leaving a lot of people to rethink about how they're going to approach retirement. And that's what we do here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. We try to provide you with some financial advice in a language you can understand. I've been doing this for almost 5 years here on North Shore 104.9. Hey, I hope you like the new musical format they've put together during the course of the week. And I so appreciate all of the listeners that continue to join us each and every Sunday for this financial advice in a language you can understand. If you haven't yet signed up for my free newsletter, we have over 7,000 subscribers right now that get my free newsletter, and it comes out each and every Friday morning at 10:30. We've been doing this, closing in on 10 years of doing this consecutively every Friday at 10:30. If you'd like to get my free newsletter, go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. You go to any, go to the bottom of any page on my website, and you'll see an opportunity to sign up for the newsletter. Simply put in your email address, how you heard about us, usually the radio show or some other way. And then if you have a question for me, if you have a thought, if you have a comment, something you like about the show, don't like about the show, a question you might have for your about your own personal situation, or perhaps you even might want to schedule a free initial consultation, those are all great places to do that. Or frankly, all you need to do is hit the send button and you're signed up for the newsletter. No obligation whatsoever. Happy to have you join the population of people that continue to add to the roster of recipients of Planning Pointers that comes out each and every Friday. Just go to my website once again, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. All right, well, I thought this week we would focus on a couple things. First of all, I think with all of the changes that have gone on with the tax code, the volatility that we've seen in the stock market, many people approaching retirement dates or considering whether retirement is the right time for them. Many people are considering, how should I invest my money in light of the volatility in the stock market? Lots of open-ended questions. I wanted to go back to a book that I wrote a few years ago called Retiring for the Genius, which is certainly available still through Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com. But I'm going to give you a free little insight today. I went to page 331 of my book. There's a section that's called 10 Timeless Retirement Planning Strategies. And I thought I'd share them with you today on this radio show, because even still, these timeless strategies are truly that. They work all the time. And sometimes it's difficult when your emotions get in the way, or when influences from family, friends, neighbors, colleagues try to push you in a certain direction. And even though you might feel a little bit of uncomfortableness in your gut, you sometimes say to yourself, well, it seems logical and maybe I'll do it anyways. Well, I want to walk you through these 10 timeless retirement planning strategies. The other thing that we're going to do later in the show, and I think you're going to love this, about a week ago or so, someone, a friend of mine from Canada, actually shared a story that appeared in PBS, PBS.org. That's the public broadcasting service. And it was a survey, a 24-question survey, asking people to get a sense of how thick their bubble was. Now, what do I mean by bubble? Well, oftentimes during the election season, we began to learn that despite the fact that there are Republicans and Democrats and perhaps independents and all the others, there are even more people that have very, very, very strong biases towards a particular issue or a particular subject, and they believe they have all the authority and all the understanding of knowing what's right versus what's wrong. And they neglect to see where the other side is coming from. One of the things that I learned on being on some national boards is that when you become part of a national board, or perhaps you're on the board of your local church or your temple or whatever it might be, in order to be an effective leader in an organization, in an association, in our country, you have to somehow figure out a way to leave your own personal bias and your own constituents in the background and do what's best for the larger group. Do what's best for the entity, for the vision of the organization, for everything. So for instance, and I'll just pick on Donald Trump here for a second, where he throws out this expression, make America great again. Donald Trump has used that expression to express a filter, to use it as a primary filter. And so every step, every decision that he rolls out of his mouth, good, bad, or indifferent, whether you like it or not, you have to first ask yourself, was the idea that he's throwing out designed to make America great again? Now, you can argue whether you think America is great again or is already great or is going to be great again or wasn't great, whatever, all that stuff. But under the filter of, for instance, does feeding the poor in Africa make America great again? Now, some will argue yes, and some will argue, well, we got plenty of poor people here in America. Shouldn't we feed them first? But that's where the debate exists. And you can have an open and honest debate about that issue, but you can't shame the other side for having an opinion there. And we continue to do that in our organizations, whether it's in our church group, whether it's in our at our temple, in an association, in our business, whatever. We have to, as a board member, as someone that looks at the big picture, we have to say what is best for the group. But when it comes down to personal finance, when it comes down to your money, the primary filter that you're using is what is best for my family's situation. And sometimes we forget that that's our number one job as parents, as grandparents, is to figure out what is best for our family, not for my kids' family, not for my grandkids' family, what's best for my family first. And many times we bend. We bend because we don't want to create rifts or strife or whatever. But perhaps it's because we don't understand where the other side is coming from. And that's why I'm excited to share with you this survey later today called How Big Is Your Bubble? And what I have found is that those of us who live on the coastline, whether it's Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, San Diego, Seattle, we have a certain bias about the way the world is and the way we handle certain things compared to what happens in the mid part of the country. So this survey that we're going to share with you later on in the show is going to allow you to explore how thick your bubble is. How little do you know about what the rest of the world knows when it comes to just life in the real world? Not politics at all, just life and living in America. And I did this survey with some friends of mine last Saturday. We were out for dinner and we shared the survey and I found the results absolutely fascinating. I kind of suspected that everybody sitting around the table was going to have a similar number that I did, a similar number on that bubble score. And what I found out was that my personal bias and impressions of the people sitting around the table suggested that I believed that they were kind of like me, that we all kind of associated together, we all hung around together, but their history, their family backgrounds, what they know about the world was far different. And I can't wait to share this with you. We shared it on our newsletter this past Friday and had a tremendous amount of feedback from folks. So I hope you enjoy this. All right. We've got a bunch of stuff to talk about today. Like I said, we're going to talk about the 10 timeless retirement planning strategies. We're going to get through that. And then I'm going to talk to you about how thick is your bubble. And you're going to find this absolutely fascinating. Before we take a quick break, just a quick reminder, if you'd like to schedule a free initial consultation in our office, we would love to have you come by. If you haven't found our new office, it's located at 41 Cross Street. Just up the hill to the North Shore Mall. If you haven't been to the new Alto Forno restaurant, it's a brand new Italian, high-end Italian, Mediterranean and Greek-influenced restaurant. It is fabulous. When you walk inside this place, you're going to go, oh my God, this place is absolutely magnificent. You'll love the food, you'll love the bar, you'll love the people that work there. And if you look up, you'll notice that the second floor is occupied by Friedman Financial. There's only two stories to the building, so we've got the whole second floor. We would love to meet you. If you'd like to schedule a free initial consultation, give my office a call anytime, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We've got to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll provide financial advice in a language you can understand and 10 timeless retirement planning strategies. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Introducing Mercedes-Benz VanPower. Now you can get up to 2 years of complimentary scheduled maintenance on a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or Metris van, starting at just $25,995. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
Starting at price refers to base model Metris worker cargo van. Excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Please see your dealer or go to mvvans.com for further details and exclusions.
Currently offering 0.9% financing.
Visit Flagship Motor Cars of Linfield on Route 1 North or online at flagshipmotorcars.com.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents. Heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had a million dollars.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, and we are here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. right in the treetop studios of North Shore 104.9, providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. When we last left, I promised that I would begin to share 10 timeless retirement planning strategies. These are 10 items that I've shared in my book, Retiring for the Genius. The book's been around for a couple of years. You can, of course, pick it up at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. But today I want to give you a free insight. This is from chapter 23 of my book. Jeez, I forgot how many chapters there were in this book. But these timeless retirement planning strategies work today. They worked 10 years ago. They worked 30 years ago. And I bet you they will work 20 years from now. Sure, today we live in a world where the stock market is volatile, but still on the positive side. There's a mixed confidence that we might have in our government officials. Certainly it's not on the positive side, but the stock market is certainly showcasing a nice direction positive. Our economy seems to be pretty strong, but every day there seems to be someone else that's out there that will say it's going to crumble tomorrow. We have a new outlook on the relationship, I guess, with North Korea, where it looks like President Trump and Kim Jong-il are planning to schedule some type of a peace conversation. Hard to believe that. There are struggles over in Israel in the Middle East. We have challenges with different parts of the country with the storms that we've had. And there's always something, right? There's always something going on. But at the end of the day, you've got to start planning for what is best for you, not what the NBC Nightly News says is best for the country. They have to talk from that perspective, but you have to look at your situation and not buy into the fact that, well, America is doing this, so you should do it too. When we hear on the national news that America is doing this, or people are doing this, or people age 70 are doing this, you've got to be very careful. They're talking about the middle. What I have found fascinating is today, those that are listening to this show, in many cases, are frankly not part of the middle. Think about this. What is the middle household income in all of America? Think about everybody that files a tax return. Everybody who files a tax return. So I'm excluding everybody out of the equation that doesn't file a tax return. So what is the middle household income? And that would be the number. Is if you've got your tax return in front of you and perhaps you've done your taxes recently, look at the bottom right-hand corner of Form 1040 of your tax return. That's called your adjusted gross income. What do you think that middle number is in the country? It's $46,000 to $48,000. So if your modified adjusted gross income is higher than, let's call it $48,000, you're showing more income than more than half of America. And you might say, that is impossible. How could that possibly be true? I look around my community. I know people are making more than that. Well, remember, we're talking about all of America. Let's try to regionalize it a little bit. Let's bring it to Massachusetts. What do you think that number is? What's the median number, that middle number for all Massachusetts taxpayers? It's $63,000. 63. So we've moved up rather dramatically. In fact, believe it or not, that is 50% more. If you want to turn this into buzzwords like in the news, Massachusetts residents on average, make 50% more income than does the national average. How does that make you feel? But you still don't feel like you're making any money, do you? Or you still don't feel rich. or even affluent, for that matter. All right, let's regionalize it a little bit more. I happen to live in the town of North Andover, and I happen to teach a personal finance class each and every semester at North Andover High School. So we tried to regionalize this a little bit, and I said, what is the average household income of all taxpayers in the town of North Andover? And by the way, this number will be holds true for like Beverly, for Danvers, and a few other surrounding communities as well. The average household income, the bottom of 1040, the 1040 form of your tax return, says $91,000 for the average person. The average household in North Andover is at $91,000. So think about this. The average house, and this is how media can spin this. The average household in North Andover makes 100% more than the average household income in America. Wow, that's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? So get this one. Let's expand it even further. Let's now go national. How much money do you have to make? How much money do you have to make or show, or not make, how much money do you have to show as your adjusted gross income on your Form 1040 to be considered part of the top 10% wealthiest income earners in America? To be considered part of the top 10% wealthiest income earners in America, you have to show an income of $132,000. So I want you to ask yourself, and that's not one person. Let's say you're married, you have a household, and your income shows $140,000 between the two of you. You both make $70,000 a year. Collectively, you show $140,000 on the bottom of your adjusted gross income. That would put you amongst the 10 percenters. Starting to get a little scary, isn't it? When you think about, you're thinking to yourself, I made $120,000, $140,000 for my family. I certainly don't feel wealthy. I certainly don't feel like I'm part of the 10% of all Americans, of the wealthiest Americans, but you are. We are misled a little bit by what the world of income looks like outside of our own local community. Oh, by the way, what do you have to be in the top 1%? You want to be among the 1%ers, as they call it? 1% is a little bit more than $400,000. If your household income exceeded $400,000, you're in the top 1%. So how does that make you feel? Do you feel like you're getting a sense as to where you fall in the whole spectrum of income? Because I can assure you, the NBC Nightly News isn't providing you with some specialized or focused figures. They're providing it to you on the highest level, most national basis. So with all of that in mind, I'd like you to start thinking about these 10 timeless retirement planning strategies that I'm going to share with you today and think about how they fit into your situation. My timeless strategy number one has never changed in the 27 years that I've been in business, actually almost 28 years now. Strategy number one is to ask yourself, do you have an emergency fund? An emergency fund? That is right, an emergency fund. What do you consider your emergency fund? An emergency fund should represent 3 to 6 months of your normal living expenses. Let's say you spend $8,000 a month. Just using that as a number, it could be $4,000, it could be $2,000, it could be $18,000. Let's say you spend $8,000 a month. That's after taxes. Let's say you spend $8,000 a month. Multiply that times 3, that's $24,000. Multiply that times 6, it's $48,000. If you're spending on average $8,000 a month, you should have somewhere, call it between $25,000 and $40,000 sitting in a bank account, and I don't care if it earns 0% interest, because an emergency fund can't be put to risk. It needs to be highly liquid. Money that you have in your investment account in a bond fund is not considered emergency fund money. Anybody that tells you otherwise is not giving you all of the information you need. Money that sits in a bond fund, and a bond fund, remember, is a collection of bonds designed and packaged into a portfolio that can fluctuate up and down every day. They're subject to interest rates, call provisions. They're subject to premium increases, all different things that could happen. The price of your bond fund could go up and down. The price of a money market fund, the price of a savings account, is not going to move. You know what it is, and money that you have in an emergency fund should be immediately liquid and valued at the price that you see on your phone, on your banking app, on the statement that you see. You should know what you're able to get. If you don't have that, if you don't have an emergency fund equal to 3 to 6 months' expenses, you need to figure out a way right now. And I'm serious, right now. Markets are sitting at an all-time high right now. If you've got a bunch of money in the market and you say, well, I've been using some of the money in the market as part of my emergency fund. Well, folks, take it out. Take it out while the market is high. Move that money into the bank account and secure it there. You never know when you might need it. And you might say, well, but I'll have to pay taxes on it. So what? So what? Well, imagine when you have to, if you had to take the money out when the market was down and you have to sell out these investments, perhaps at a loss, perhaps at what it's less than what it's worth today. Get that money out. But the bigger question is, which is strategy number two, do you actually know what your monthly expenses are? Do you have any idea what you spend every month? It's easy for me to say, well, you need to put 3 to 6 months of your expenses away. But if you don't know how much you spend every month, well, there's a bit of a problem. So how do you figure that out? How do you figure out how much you spend every month? Well, here's a little recipe for how to do this. I talk about this. I've talked about this probably a dozen times on the radio. And if you've heard me tell this story, I'm sorry, but everybody is always interested on how to figure out how much you're spending every month. In many households, at least many households that I see as a financial planner, many people run the vast majority of their expenses through a single checking account. Now, that means that you might write your credit card bill through your checking account. You might pay your mortgage through it. You might even use your ATM card, but it all kind of is attached to this same checking account. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at your last 6 months' bank statements that have that account where you pay the bills. Maybe you don't get statements. Maybe you see them online. You can certainly look it up online, pull up a PDF, see it on your phone. You can do all that stuff. One of the things that we oftentimes forget to look at because we're so busy reconciling our bank accounts, if you do that at all anymore, is that we forget to take a look at what were the total deposits versus the total withdrawals. If you look at a number on your bank statement and it says total withdrawals, that will show you how much money has left your account over the course of a month. All you need to do is take a look at that number and then take a look at that number on all six of the other statements. Add those six numbers up. Divide by six. And you will now have an average amount that you spend each month. That's going to give you that answer, that number to figure out what is my 3 to 6 months that I need to keep in the bank for emergency purposes. And then, of course, you'll take a look at those 3 to 6 months and you'll say to yourself, well, you know, August we had the wedding and in July we had to repair the driveway and in April we did some landscaping projects. What do you think? Those big projects aren't going to happen again? No, probably not those, but others will. Maybe it'll be time. This is the month where you put a new down payment down on a new purchase of a car, or you go on a vacation that month. It will always be something. So really look at those 6 month numbers hard. That's why I would never ask you to look at 1 month, because 1 month could be an anomaly, but 6 months probably isn't. Take a look at that. Figure out that number, that monthly number. Take the six statements, the total withdrawals on six of your most recent bank statements. Add them up and then divide by six. That comes up with a general average, right? That will give you a sense as to how much money you're spending every month. Now you take that number, multiply it times three. I think you know this. Multiply it times three, and that is the minimum amount that you should have in a bank as an emergency fund. Multiply it times six, and it's probably the larger amount that you should have, the more of a maximum number that you should have in the bank. The rest of it, we can put to work for your future. Does that help? Is that a good start? We're talking about 10 timeless retirement planning strategies that I don't care where you are in your life, you need to start thinking about them. We've gone through the top two. We've got eight more to go. And the information that you'll find in the eight others that I'm going to share are certainly timeless, but you'll go, one or two of these things, you're going to go, huh, I knew that was right. Or my friend told me it wasn't true, but I knew I wasn't thinking about this the proper way. I want you to start thinking for yourself, thinking and building your portfolio and your retirement plan in a way that is appropriate for you, not what is true for your neighbor, or not what your neighbor, mother, grandfather, colleague thinks is best for you. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm a certified financial planner, and I've been delivering financial planning advice in a language you can understand for 28 years out of my office in Peabody, Massachusetts. If now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning and retirement planning needs, I would be delighted to meet with you. Phone number at the office is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Give our office a call for a free initial consultation. I'd love to meet with you. I'd love to have you come by the office and show you how we take overall financial planning and investment management very seriously and point you down a path that you can feel comfortable knowing that you're making smart decisions all along the way. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, more ideas to revitalize your retirement, timeless strategies that you can use, that you need, and we're going to put them to work. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. I don't know.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and expertise to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Let's make 2018 the year you get serious about your financial plan. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Good morning and welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we've been providing financial planning and investment advice to individuals and families on the North Shore since 1968. Hard to believe that in less than 4 weeks, we will be celebrating our 50th anniversary of providing this advice to individuals all throughout our community. My father started our firm back in 1968, April 10th of 1968 to be exact. And some of the clients that my father started with when they were in their 20s and 30s back in 1968 are clients of ours still today. We're delighted that we manage financial planning and investment management relationships for several generations of clients. Many people refer their family, their children to us. We're delighted to meet with you. And those of you that listen to our radio show, you have been a great source of referral over the past 5 years. You like listening to the radio show. You like financial advice in a language you can understand. You like being treated with respect and humility when you come to our office. We truly listen. We want to help you get positioned properly, so that you understand what you're buying, understand the advice that we're providing to you, and also allow you to express your opinions, thoughts, what ifs, and wishes. And we can test and try those ideas with you in our office through our interactive software. Our software system, eMoney, along with other software systems that we integrate into it, have been a really helpful tool for so many clients. Many people, as they approach retirement, they're thinking to themselves, I don't know whether I can afford to retire. I don't know whether I have enough money. I don't know how to draw money from my retirement account. That's the big one. How do you spend money in a world where all you knew to do was to save money throughout your life? At Friedman Financial, we show you how to do that. We show you in person using your dollars, not through some fancy software system that uses what the average person does. We're using your real situation. And you can begin to understand it. We'll help you make the decisions on how much tax to withhold from each of the distributions so that you don't become surprised come tax day to find out you either owe a lot of money or you have a big refund coming. We'll help you decide where the best places is to take your money to support your life in retirement. We'll give you ideas about Social Security. When should you take it? How much do you really need to earn if you want to work part-time and leave your job today? How much can you afford to gift to your children? How much can you afford to help pay for a wedding or to help support mom or dad as they're going through a tough time in a senior living facility? There's more to financial planning and investment advice than simply picking investments. Yes, it's important that you have the right mix, that you tweak it appropriately. But if all of those decisions aren't tied around particular goals that are assigned and attached to you, not goals that can't be changed, but goals that are meaningful to you, goals like sending your kids to college or retiring with a lifestyle that you have grown accustomed to, or being able to plan for a kids or a family vacation that you want to go on, or making sure that you leave the legacy that you want, maintain the second family home that you've always had, provide for your great-grandchildren, do what you want to do, and most importantly, make sure that when one of you is gone, that the surviving spouse has a resource to turn to that will continue to guide them with the appropriate advice that you have given them all of these years. That's what we do at Friedman Financial. We've been doing it since 1968, and I'm really proud of the results that we've delivered to our clients and the compliments that we continue to get from our clients, because we keep our clients. People don't move around. You know, the market's been volatile. We're not losing clients. We're gaining clients because we're communicating. We communicate with you each and every Friday morning at 10:30 by sending you a newsletter called Planning Pointers. If you want to get that free newsletter, go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of the website, click on the button that says, I want to sign up for Mark's newsletter. Put in your email address. Let us know how you heard about us. And if you want to drop a comment, you want to schedule an initial consultation, you want to ask me a question, do it right there in the comment section. And I promise I will get back to you. All right. Let's continue on these timeless retirement strategies that I thought I would share with you today. Earlier in the show, we talked about maintaining an emergency fund and examining your expenses. But here comes the meat part. Here comes the really good stuff. One of the things that you need to do if you're in retirement, and it's something that you've probably never considered before, but you need to safeguard your short-term income needs. I said safeguard your short-term income needs. What I mean by that is, let's say, for instance, you are relying on $2,000 a month from your $500,000 investment account. Let's say you need $2,000 a month. That's $24,000 a year. And that might be because you might have, let's say, $3,000 coming from Social Security a month, but you also need $2,000 from your investment account. Let's say it's about $500,000. You take $2,000 a month from that account. That would give you $5,000 a month to support your income needs. You can decide what you need per month. My point is that you've got guaranteed $3,000. You need $2,000 to support your life. And so how do you make sure that you can continue to spin off $2,000 a month? How can you be sure that you can spin off $2,000 a month and not worry about running out of money? That's a tough decision, tough question to ask. Well, some people say, well, I'll just continue to play it aggressive. Here's what I think you should do. And you might think this is crazy. You might think this is crazy, but I'm going to tell you to do this. I want you to think about $2,000 a month times 36 months. That's 3 years times $2,000 a month. That comes out to $72,000. I am telling you that I would love to see you take $72,000 of your $500,000 investment account. And by the way, that's also assuming you have an emergency fund somewhere else. Take 3 years' expenses that you need to pull from your account and put it either in a money market fund or a very, very, very short-term bond fund. And over the next 3 years, that is where you pull your $2,000 from. That's right. You are going to deplete that account over 3 years. But the remaining money of your investment portfolio, you invest. And maybe you invest it 60-40, 70-30 stocks to bonds. And you don't have to worry about 3 years of volatility because you know you have your expenses put aside for 3 years. You let that account work itself through traditional business cycles. And perhaps as you're approaching the end of year two of your liquid short-term money, you begin to take another $24,000 from the investment account and replenish it back into the short-term investment account. It's a strategy that requires continual management. But I will tell you this, it works. It works. And it's something that I think you should consider. Strategy number four, rebalance your portfolio. Look, we've seen the markets, some of the markets have dropped up to 10% over the past month and a half. Some have responded. But how did you deal with the ever-changing volatility in the market over the past months? Did you say, I've got to get out and buy Bitcoin? Or I shouldn't say Bitcoin, I guess I have to say a cryptocurrency. Did you get out and buy whatever the hot item was? Maybe someone was talking about some hard currency, maybe gold or something like that. Or perhaps they were talking about, well, the emerging markets have a lot of potential. That is not the way to do this, folks. You got to simply rebalance your portfolio. If you wanted a 60-40 portfolio and your account went to now 65-35, that means that your stocks are outperforming your bonds by 5 percentage points. Do you have the discipline to take 5% off of your growth and add it to your fixed income side? Most people do not. They say, oh, these are my winners. Why would I want to sell my winners? You're not selling out of all of your winners. But what you are doing is taking some of your profits and putting that into a fixed income security or some or the other side. Now, there'll be periods of time when bonds will outperform stocks. Would you rebalance there? You want to continuously rebalance. You want to rebalance large cap to small cap, value to growth, all of that stuff. If I'm confusing you, then you shouldn't be doing this. Find a financial planner. Find a certified financial planner who will give you guidance on rebalancing along with everything else that helps to manage your financial life. Like, for instance, strategy number five, managing tax losses versus gains. Did you do that this December? Have you found yourself come April where you owe a lot more money in taxes than you imagined? Were you managing the gains versus the losses? Were you taking advantage of the fact that you had losses in your accounts, but capital gain distributions? What are those? Those special distributions that get paid in December. They caused you with a surprise tax hit. Did you manage them through? In November and December of each year, our office carefully tickles through every single account in the office to make sure that we are maximizing gains and losses for our clients so they do not need to pay more tax than they need to. Strategy number six, that's a timeless retirement strategy. You need to avoid speculation. Yeah, I know it sounds like a lot of fun that you can buy this hot stock or that hot stock or this has gone up and this has gone down, or you hear about all different types of securities, whether it's Snapchat or Tesla or these marijuana stocks or whatever it might be. Everybody's got something hot, something new they got to buy, or these penny stocks. Stay away. Stay away. Don't let some broker on a telephone give you a call and say, hey, come on, try me out here. Let me show you that I can get you a great investment product, that I can sell you a particular idea and you're going to make so much money on it. Do not get sucked in. I want you to think about this. How do you think people who owned General Electric or Kodak or Lucent are feeling right now? Fortunately, General Electric is still in business. Some of those others aren't. But I'll tell you this, if I wanted to buy 100 shares of Facebook, I would certainly feel a lot more comfortable with a portfolio manager who plans to buy 2 million shares of Facebook than an average person who says, hey, I read this thing on CBS Market Watch that said Facebook might be a good buy, or Cramer said it on TV. How much more information do you think the portfolio manager has who's going to buy 2 million shares than does Cramer or somebody else? And then again, by the way, when you buy a stock, you have to actually have a plan to get out. And most of us, when we buy stocks, are chicken to get out. Unless, of course, it loses money, then we say, of course, we got to get out. That's not the way to do this. Avoid speculation, folks. Strategy number seven, you need to invest in the stock market. It amazes me how many reports I read about young students, 20 and 30 something year olds, who are afraid to invest in the stock market. You know why they're afraid to invest in the stock market? Because most of them don't have any money to invest. They're spending it all. Look at the way your kids and your grandkids are spending money. Probably not the way you did. They might be making 2 and 3 times more money than you ever did. And they simply still can't figure out a way to cover all of their expenses. In fact, they're asking you to step up and offer daycare support or watch the kids or maybe help them with a down payment on a house or buy appliances or help them buy a whole bunch of expensive items for Christmas. But folks, you know better. If you've been invested in the stock market, if you have played in the world of mutual funds and exchange-traded funds and index funds, you know that over time you will be rewarded. But you can't be speculative. You have to let it sit. You got to rebalance along the way. And if you don't have the discipline to do it, you need to find a financial advisor who will help you. Okay, 3 more items before we take a quick break. And I'm going to go through them quickly because I got a great story to share with you in the last segment. Strategy number 8. Never give up on your 401k. I don't care. Like in 2008 and 2009, when many companies said, sorry, we can't afford the match anymore. You're not in it for the match. You're in it for the pre-tax contribution and the ability to grow your money tax deferred. That is all. Even if you put all of your 401k money in cash, and I'm not encouraging you to do that, you'd still be ahead of the game because you didn't have to pay tax on this money. Strategy number 9. And this is an important one. Review your beneficiary designations. I want you to make sure that you are absolutely clear that you know who the beneficiaries are when you die on your IRA accounts, your retirement accounts, your insurance policies, your annuity accounts. Make sure it's not mom. Make sure it's not your first spouse if you're married 2 or 3 times. Make sure that you've named all of your children. Make sure that you've done it properly. And finally, strategy number 10. Now more than ever, consumers are seeking the independent, objective advice of a certified financial planner. Yes, you will pay for the advice, but in the end, I suspect that after meeting with someone who is both ethical, independent, trusted, and trained, you will wish that you sought help sooner. If you want to find a certified financial planner in your community, well, of course, you can call our office, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or if you're looking elsewhere, I'd encourage you to visit letsmakeaplan.org. That's letsmakeaplan.org. On that site, you will certainly find our office, but other certified financial planners in the community. I'd encourage you to find one that works well for you. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I got this story, a little survey to talk to you about. It's called How Thick Is Your Bubble? And I have a feeling you're going to love this segment. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. That's at 41 Cross Street, right atop the Alto Forno restaurant. If you haven't been there, it's part of the trilogy of restaurants owned by the Mamola family. They own Daniela's, they own Palana, and of course, Alto Forno. It's a beautiful restaurant on the first floor of 41 Cross Street. We are on the second floor. If you're in the neighborhood, come by and visit. Say hello. Or if you happen to stop in to have a drink downstairs, just look up. Maybe I'll be looking out the window at you. Hope you're doing well. And if you'd like to come in to schedule a free initial consultation to talk with us about helping you get your financial house in order, about you getting your finances lined up appropriately so that you can achieve the retirement you want, we would love to meet with you. Phone number at the office, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We've been providing financial planning and investment advice to individuals on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire area since 1968. And on April 10th of this year, we will celebrate 50 years of doing just that service. So please come by and swing by and see us. Drop us a note if you'd like. If you'd like to sign up for our free newsletter that we put out each and every Friday morning, comes out Friday at 10:30. All you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That is Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. And one other thing that you might want me to send to you, and you can certainly put it in the comments section if you go to my website, is the link to a quiz that I'm going to talk about in this final segment. It's called How Thick Is Your Bubble, or Do You Live in a Bubble? It's a fascinating quiz that I took with some friends of mine last Saturday while we were out for dinner. It gives you a sense of understanding how we grew up and what our lifestyle is like to help us understand what we know about the rest of the world. In fact, as I read just the first paragraph here, it says, there exists a new upper class that is completely disconnected from the average white American and American culture at large. We're going to encourage you to take this 25-question quiz based on a similar one published in 2012. It was called Coming Apart, The State of White America from 1960 to 2010, to find out just how thick your bubble is. So it asks here, if you grew up in a working class neighborhood, you're going to have a higher score, even if today you're an investment banker on Park Avenue, you're a doctor, you're a lawyer, and you hold a professional position. Your present life might be completely encased in the bubble, but you brought a lot of experience into that bubble that will always be part of your understanding of the world. You see, growing up in a middle-class neighborhood also scores points for you on several questions, and that too is reflected in the real-world experiences that people bring to their adult lives in this new upper class. The middle class covers a wide variety of environments, and the degree to which people who grew up in the middle class seal themselves off from that world after they've reached the new upper class, which is reflected in a wide range of scores. So let me try to show you some of the questions that are asked. So that's basically, many of these are just yes, no questions. So the first question that's asked, and so what you're trying to do here is answer the question as best you can recall. And generally, I recommend that you want to at least be 30 or 40 years old before you start taking this quiz. Here's the first question. Have you ever lived for at least a year in an American neighborhood in which the majority of your 50 nearest neighbors did not have a college degree? So make your judgment, and it says here, make your judgment with regard to your neighborhood, not your zip code. Answer no if you're thinking of a gentrifying neighborhood in which you were one of the gentrifiers. So think about this question. Why do they ask this question? Well, in the 2000 census, 92% of Americans lived in zip codes in which the majority of adults aged 25 and older did not have college degrees. 77% lived in zip codes where less than a third of adults 25 years of older had degrees. So it's an interesting question to first start this quiz asking, have you ever lived for at least a year in an American neighborhood in which the majority of your 50 nearest neighbors did not have a college degree? A simple yes or no question. This is just one of the 25 questions designed to ask, do you live in a bubble? And you're going to end up, as you go through these questions, and I'll play a few more with you, but I'd really encourage you to either Google do you live in a bubble? And it's under PBS.org, PBS, the public broadcasting system. Make sure that you take the current one, not the 2012 version, but the 2016 version. Try it out. If you'd like me to send you the link, I'm happy to do that also. All you need to do is go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. If you sign up for the newsletter, in the comments section, there's an opportunity for you to say, Mark, send me the link to this story. We actually ran this story in our newsletter this past Friday, and hundreds and hundreds of people responded to the survey, and they told us what their score was. Now, I didn't see who the person was who got the score. They just told us what the score was, and it was fascinating. See, some of the scores that you'll get, they range anywhere from 0 to 100, though no one has ever scored higher than 90, and no one has ever scored below 12, I should say. The higher your score, the more understanding you are of American life in America. The lower your score, the perhaps the removed you are from what really happens in America. So here's another question. Question number two says, did you grow up in a family in which the chief breadwinner was not in a managerial or high prestige position, defined as an attorney, a physician, a dentist, an architect, an engineer, a scientist, a college professor? Did you grow up in a family in which the chief breadwinner was not in a managerial or high prestige position? Now, why do we ask this question? Well, the percentage of households in which the chief breadwinner was not in a managerial or high prestige position was 85% in 1960 and still 75% in 2010. Let's take another one. One more that I'm just going to jump through a bunch of these here. I love this one. So I did this quiz with my kids, actually, amongst other people. One of the questions was, have you ever walked on a factory floor? Have you ever walked on a factory floor? Well, it's simple, yes or no. Have you walked on a factory floor? And then the next question is, if I answer yes on that question, it says, was it related to your job? Yes, the job entailed routine visits to the factory floor. Yes, I worked on a factory floor, or no. So did you walk on a factory floor because you were working there, or did you walk on a factory floor because you were taking a tour of a factory? Well, my daughter answered yes to the question that she has walked on a factory floor. And I said, Alana, what factory floor have you ever walked on? And she said, when we went to Ben and Jerry's in Vermont, we went on the factory tour. And I'm thinking, what her impression of a factory floor is a little bit far removed from what a giant factory floor is. So think about how you'd be answering some of these questions. I'm telling you, this is a quiz that we're talking about. It's 25 questions. It asks the question of how thick is your bubble? How disconnected are you from understanding how the rest of America operates? How about this question? I'm going to offer you a couple more. Have you ever had a close friend who could seldom get better than C's in high school, even if he or she was truly trying? Have you ever had a close friend, a really close friend, who could seldom get better than C's in high school, even if he or she tried? The reason that they asked this question is, it says here, this is from the author. It says, I use this question as a way of getting at the question I would like to have asked, which says, have you ever had a close friend who would have scored below the national average on an IQ test? He says, I can't ask that question because readers who grew up in an upper middle class neighborhood or went to school with the children of upper middle class have no way of knowing what average means. The empirical case for this statement is given in detail elsewhere, but it may be summarized quickly. You see, the typical mean IQ score for students in school of average upper middle class students is around 115 compared to the national mean of 100. In such a school, almost all of the below average students, the ones you would thought of as the school's dummies, and I'm reading this from a piece of paper here, actually were above the national average, even if the students were arranged in normal distribution. But they probably weren't normally distributed, especially to private schools that uses a floor of academic abilities in its admission decisions. So if you went to an upper middle class school and you think you had a good friend who was below the national mean IQ, he or she would have been one of the students who is at the absolute bottom of academic ability. So if you answered yes to this question as stated, you need to ask yourself if you are fudged about the definition of close friend. We hate to think we're such snobs that we have consorted only with people as smart as we are. And the temptation is strong to define a classmate in school who didn't seem very smart, but with whom we exchange friendly greetings in the lunchroom as a close friend. I thought that was a pretty honest write-up that this person did. This Charles Murray, I believe. I think that's the author of this. Put this together. We're talking about this Do You Live in a Bubble quiz. And I'm finding this quiz absolutely fascinating. You need to take this. Google it. Google Do You Live in a Bubble and take the quiz that was put out in 2016 through PBS. Take this quiz and let me know what your score is. Drop me an email. Drop me a text. Drop a note through my website and let me know. Let me know what your score was. So in my office, I'll let you know, we had scores that ranged anywhere from 21 up to 64. My score was a 24. But the range was pretty wide. And we learned a lot. For instance, Christian, who's in my office, he scored a 64. Now, Christian grew up in the mid part of the country. He grew up in Wisconsin. There's a question here that it says, have you ever been known to stock a refrigerator full of mass marketed beer? And his answer was, of course I have. And my thought was, I've never done anything like that. I would have never thought of doing anything like that. You got to take this quiz. It's a lot of fun. I encourage you to Google it or drop me a note. Go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Even if you sign up for the newsletter or even you'll see the comment section down below, just throw in the information and say, I'd like a link to the quiz. I want to share it with you. I'd love to hear what your score is. I think you're all going to learn something from this. It is a great conversation breaker. If you're going out for dinner tonight with somebody, take the quiz with you and share the quiz with everybody that's sitting around the table. Ask them to take 5 minutes to take the test. And I bet you will be amazed. You will laugh so hard and you will really be intrigued by people's backgrounds and where they came from. Who you thought everybody was because they sit in your social circle today may not be the types of social circles that they sat in years ago. And you'll be appreciative. You'll really begin to understand why people do what they do. And that, my friends, is all part of the financial advice in a language you can understand, because sometimes our decisions are rooted in where we came from, not what we do today. I want to provide you the financial advice in a language you can understand that steers you down a path that is down your comfort trail. I want you to feel good about your financial decisions. I want you to have the confidence so that you can achieve the retirement goals and dreams that you want for you, perhaps for your family, and for anybody else. And we are prepared to meet with you, to schedule that free initial consultation in our office. Phone number is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. If you'd like to sign up for our free newsletter planning pointers, go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. I'll be back next Sunday with more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.